We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos, daf Mem Zayin. We begin 11 lines in from the top of the Yamed, and the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which was discussing different etiquette, different halachas that come up in regards to the hanhagas that a person should accustom himself when they're eating a suda. So the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Yehuda Bereidah Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav, Ein Hamasubin Rishoyin Le'echol Klum At Sheyitim Habitzeya. Those who are reclining, they're dining here and eating the meal together, they're not allowed to eat anything from their bread until the one who breaks the bread tastes from his bread. And Taisus brings from the Sar Mikutzi, the prince from Kutzi, one of the Bali Taisus, that he said that if the Beitzeya is Mevarech, the one who is breaking the bread, that makes the bracha, and it gives everyone their own portions of bread, then each person does not have to wait until the Mevarech tastes. And this that it says over here that they're not allowed to eat until the one who made Amitzi eats his own bread, that's only if they want to eat from that bread that he broke. But everyone that has their piece, there's no problem. So what the Gemara is telling us, according to that, is that from his bread that he made a mitzi on and he's giving it out, that everyone has to wait until he first bites and eats, and then everyone else can eat. So the Gemara says that Yosef Rav Safra v'kamar litamitmar. So Rav Safra was sitting, and he said over this memory, and he says that it's not that they're not allowed to eat anything until the one that breaks it tastes. Rather, they're not allowed to even taste anything. So the Gemara says, "Well, my nafkimi, what's the difference? They're both the same thing. Then you're not allowed to eat until the one who makes the bracha eats. But the taste is the same as saying that they're not allowed to taste." So the Gemara says, correct, but Shechayiv Odom Loyma B'loshan Rabbi is just telling you that a person is obligated to say over an exact terminology that he heard from his teacher, and although there's no difference, but since his teacher had said it in the terminology of tasting, so he said it over that way, that was how much they gave over to the Messiah, and that shows that definitely things were not made up, and we did not forget it. We were very meticulous, we had Tamid HaChacham with the most impeccable integrity, that they wanted to say over everything as they heard from their Rebbe, who heard from Moshe from Sinai. So Gemara continues on these different halachas. Tana Rabban, Shnayim Mamtin and Zel Zeh B'Ka'ar. Two people have to wait for each other when they're eating from a joint plate, and that is when people are eating out, for example, sometimes they bring a plate for the two people. So then you have to wait for the other one until you're both ready to start eating. You can't start before the other one's ready. Shloisha imam tim, but when there's three people, then you don't have to wait. So for example, let's say there's a poo-poo platter and they bring out for like four or five people if there's three and up. So then you don't have to wait. You could start eating even if there's one person that's not ready. So the Braisa continues, Habitseya, who poshed yodei tchila, the one that made hamitzi, he's the one that was the mevarch, he takes his hands and stretched out to eat from the food first, he gets first dip, so to speak. Then bolach le'kovid le'rabbi or le'misha goleman. Now let's say he wants to decide to give the honor to his teacher or to someone that's greater than him, then he's allowed to, but he, so to speak, has the rights, because he was the beitzei, he was the mevarch, that he can get from the food first. So the Gemara brings a story related to this, that Rabbi Barachana have a osik le'lebrei bei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina, that Rabbi Baruch was involved in marrying off his son to the household of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Katina. Kodim v'yosiv kamasni lelebrei. So he went and he prefaced and he, so to speak, he sat down to teach his son. And that is, Rabbi Bochana was sitting down on the table and he was teaching his son the halachas of Hilchas Suda. And the reason is because since a chassan, a groom, is he regularly one that's making the hamitz, he's breaking the challah. Therefore, he was teaching him how should he do it. And that is, he told him as follows. Eina b'tzei reshoi levtzaya, the one that's breaking the bread, that's making the bracha of hamitzi, he's not allowed to break the, so to speak, to cut the challah, at sheyich le'omen m'piyoinim, until those who are responding omen finish saying the omen after the bracha of hamitzi that he made. And that is, he was telling him that even the answering of omen is part of the bracha. And just like we had learned on Daf Lama Test that said that in Perikates Mevarachim that a person has to first finish the bracha before he breaks the hamitzi. In other words, he's holding hamitzi lechem and aretz, and then he can start cutting. The omen that they're responding is part of the bracha. It's included in that. That's their part of the bracha. And therefore, you have to wait till they finish answering amen before you even start cutting. However, the Gemara qualifies this and says, Rav Chizda amen mepi roiva einim. You have to wait until most of those who are responding finish amen. But if there's still a few stragglers, so to speak, that are still saying amen, you don't have to wait for them. So Amalei Rama Bachama, so Rama Chama said, Maishna Ruba da katilei kalya bracha. What's the difference why you said when most of the majority of people are still answering amen that you have to wait? Because the bracha didn't end yet. So miyutinami le kalya bracha. If there's still a few people answering amen, the bracha didn't end yet because that's their part of the bracha. So Amalei, he said that no, it's different. Shani Oimer, because I say, kala oino amen yosemidai, ene elatoya, whoever's saying amen longer than he has to, is just, he's making a mistake. And therefore those people, the Beitzea, that's, again, we said he's the one that eats first, but again, he has to wait to cut the matzah, to cut the bread or the matzah until after the amen of the majority of people said it. So why doesn't he have to wait for the minority? So Taisus brings that although the Gemara later says The kolamarech ba'am in maririn lo yamishnais, whoever is lengthy on amen, that they lengthen his days and his years, it's as long as it doesn't do it too long. And that is because if you say it too long, it loses its definition. And therefore, it's not going to sound like the word amen is going to be amen. It's going to sound like a different word. And that's why the Gemara says that the one who's cutting is not allowed to cut the bread until most of the people say amen, because of those who are still going longer, they're not even saying the word amen. Therefore, you don't have to wait for them. It's not even part of the bracha. So now the Gemara continues. Once we mentioned all the dinim of many dinim of amen regarding the proper pronunciation and how a person is supposed to say amen, and this is one of the more challenging halachas which comes up a lot of times. Tanaban. Ein einen lo amen chatufa. There's many different interpretations of this Gemara which are negeif halacha, but we're going to be going primarily with Rashi's pirish. So the Brisa says that we don't respond in amen chatufa, which is Rashi says that a shva, at least in the times of Rashi, was called a chatuf. So therefore, you're not supposed to answer amen with a shva, which is a chatuf, and not the way it's supposed to be with the zakamatz, which Rashi calls a pasach. And that is, a person will be saying amen instead of saying amen. The person has to make sure he's saying a kamatz under the aleph and not a shva, which will be amen. So a lot of people, so to speak, and it's related to chatuf, which means to chap, to grab. In other words, if you say it improperly, you say amen, you're not saying amen. It has to be with a chatuf again, not with a chatuf. In other words, amen chatuf is not proper. It shouldn't be with a shva, it should be with a kamatz. Brisa continues, amen ketufa. It shouldn't be an abbreviated amen. And that is that you're going to miss out the nun, that you don't say it properly, you don't totally enunciate it, that it should be obvious. So a person says amen, and he doesn't say the nun properly, that's an abbreviated amen, and that's also improper. And the person should not say an orphaned amen, which Rashi says means that he didn't hear the bracha. Rather, he just hears that everyone's answering amen, so he says amen, so it's so to speak an orphaned amen, because it doesn't have a father, which is the bracha that you're answering, which is the child, the amen is the child of that bracha. And Rashi addresses it, whereas, although there's a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nanaf, that says that in Alexandria of Mitzrayim, they used to pick up these kerchiefs, these sudarim, and because it was such a big shul, they couldn't hear when it came time to answer amen. So you see, although they didn't hear and they answered, so he says there it's different because they knew the bracha that they were saying. And that is, they knew what bracha they were responding to, they just couldn't hear. So therefore, they knew that they started Baruch Atah Hashem, they heard the first time, and they knew it's Magen Avram. They knew all the brachas. So therefore, although it's not appropriate to say an amen on the bracha you didn't hear, that's only if you don't know what bracha they're saying. But if you know what bracha they're saying, that's not considered amen yusayma. It won't be an orphan amen. And then finally, the Brisa says, "V'lo yizrik bracha mipiv." He shouldn't throw out a bracha from his mouth, meaning very quickly, because it seems like it's slow to speak a yoke on him, that he just be yaitzis is on like the sound of bracha. It should be a slow bracha with kavana. It shouldn't be just thrown out. So now the Gemara continues on the punishments of those that recite an amen improperly. As we mentioned, whoever responds as an amen yisayim, again, that he did not hear the bracha, he just responds amen because everyone else is saying amen, yuban of yisayim. So then his children become orphans, which Rahman Islam, that means he passes away. Chatufa, if he answers amen chatufa again, which means to say with a chatef, it means with a shva, amen, instead of saying amen with a kamat, yischatfu yamav. Again, this is a not just a play on words, but it's saying chatufa, that it's an amen chatufa, so then his life will be snatched away. Ketufa, if he answers an abbreviated amen, again, which means it doesn't properly recite the whole amen, he so to speak slurs either the aleph or the nun. Yiskatfu yamav, then his life will be abbreviated. Whoever is lengthy on amen, then they lengthen his days and his years, that's because it's properly to totally say amen. However, as we mentioned in Taisa before, that not too long, because then you won't be properly pronouncing the actual word amen. So again, there's many pshatim and there's shaynim, but what we see from the Gemara is that amen is very chashiv. It's very important to properly recite it, as the Gemara says in other places, that the one who answers amen is even greater than the one that made the bracha. So it's very important to say amen, to properly pronounce the aleph, the mem, the nun, with the correct nekudas of amen with the kametz. So it's very important to hear the bracha and to recite it properly. So now the Gemara returns to the halachas that we were mentioning of our parak of Zimun, about who's mitzdarf, who can join together for the Zimun. So the Gemara brings a story that Rav Shmuel Havayasev Besadusa, Rav and Shmuel were eating together. Also Rav Shimon Bar Chiya, so another Amorah came, Havakamasar V'Ochel, he was eating. And that is, he wanted to go ahead and join to be the third wheel, so to speak, to go ahead and make a Zimun with them. However, Amalei Rav, Madaitchas, Rav said to him, what are you thinking? Let's terufi ba'adon, you want to join us so we can make a zima together? Ananachlinanan, we already ate already, it's too late. We already finished our meal before you even came, so you can't join us to make us part of a zima together with you. So Amalei Shmuel, so Shmuel said, no. Ilu maisu li ardilia, if they were to bring me now mushrooms, or they would bring young pigeons for Abba, which is a term of covet that was said for Rav, Mila achlin, wouldn't we eat? In other words, Shmuel liked mushrooms a lot, as is, so to speak, his kenuach suda, which is his dessert. And Rav liked young pigeons. And again, Shmuel was calling Rav Abba for his honor. So he was telling him, he says, wouldn't we eat if it was Cain? And so therefore, we didn't finish our meal yet. And therefore, because we would be ready, we would be open and receptive to eating something delicious for dessert. So therefore, we're mitzaref and we are considered still eating the meal, and he could join and we can make a zimun. A similar story the Gemara brings. Tamida de Rav have a yase besadusa. The students of Rav were sitting at a meal. Al Ravacha. Ravacha came in. So Amri, oh, asa gavar Rav de Mavarchal. He says, a great person has come to make the brachas, to bench for us, berachas amazon, to be the leader. So Amalahu, Misa Visa de Gad Mavarch, do you think that the greater one of the group, he's the one that makes the bracha? I came in late. Ikur Shabasud Mavarch, the primary person from the meal, he's the one that makes the bracha. That is someone that was there from the beginning of those that started the meal, that's the person that makes the bracha. However, the Gemara says, Velchasa Gad Mavarch, Allah isn't no, the greater person is the one that makes the bracha. Afakav Daslab Seifel, even if he comes later, and that is why they were honoring Ravacha, because he was the greatest of all of them. And again, so that is that we see that zimun is something that if people eat together, even if someone comes later, they can all join together. As long as they're still eating, he could join to make the zimun with them. So now we return to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said many different categories of people that although they did something, they were eating something which seems improper, or that they should not be able to join with zimun, that the chiddush was that they could join to eat to do a zimun. So the first case was ochel demai, that if one of the individuals was eating demai, which again, demai is wheat that was purchased from an Amah Oretz, which it's not clear if he took of Maisa or not, because they weren't so meticulous about it. So although this person's eating demai, which is Oster to eat without taking of Maisa, he could be mitzaref to Zim, and it's not considered mitzah babaver. Which the Gemara asks, Holei Chazulei, but it's not fitting for him. This Birchas Zimun is Habobaver. And as it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, Beitzea Berich, and it's Hashem, someone that's making a bracha, something that was stolen, he's blaspheming to Hashem. And as the Gemara in Baba Kama says, if someone steals a saw of wheat and he grinds it and he bakes and he makes a bracha on it, that's not a bracha. So therefore, how could this person go ahead and be part of a zimun by eating demai, which is aser, because he didn't take off ma'isu? So the Gemara says, no, demai is more lenient, and that is kivan di boi mafkelu lenichse v'hava ani v'chazilei. Since he could make all his possessions ownerless, so therefore he'll then have the halacha of an ani of a poor person. And then demai is fitting for that person. Detans, we learn in the Mishnah, mechilin es anim demai. We're allowed to give to the poor people demai. So to speak, we have a chiv to take off ma'isa. But since most amaratzim, they do take off ma'isa, and it's only chumr da'abonin, it's an extra stringency that Rabbanan placed on it, so therefore they were mechil and said that for anim, we don't have to take off ma'isa, we can give them the demai and they can eat it. And since this person can make himself an ani, by so to speak, just making everything that he owns hefker, ownerless, so therefore, the eating the demai is not a complete iser, it's not a complete problem, and that's why we're mitzaref from Vaziman. Moreover, the Mishnah says, v'esachsanya demai, we can give the soldiers demai. These were the soldiers of the king, that it was incumbent upon all the people of the city to feed them when they were coming back from the war. And they also, in a sense, had the halacha as an ani because they weren't in their proper places. They didn't have their resources that they normally have where they live. So therefore, since they had a din of ani, again, the people of the city could give them demai to eat. And therefore, again, that's why this person can be mitzaref. And the Gemara ends off, Amar Rav Huna, however, Tana Beishamay Yomim, in Machil Nesanim, Besachsan Yedemai. However, Rav Huna says that we learned that Beishamay says you can't give even Anim or Achsan Noye, you can't give them Demai, because again, there's a Chiev that the Chacham or Mesach can take off Maisa. But ultimately, what we see is that although one of the three people is eating Demai, which seems to be an Isser, it's not a complete Isser because it's a Churma Ba'alma of the Rabbanon, and that is since he could be an Ani. So therefore, ultimately, he's joined for the Zeman, and we could make Zeman including him. So now the Gemara continues quoting from the cases of the Mishnah, and from here up until like three quarters of the way through Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to ask Pshita, that all these cases seem obvious, that there's nothing really wrong over here, that the person should be able to be joined to the Zeman of all the three, and the Gemara is going to say there's too much specific cases. So the first case that we take from our Mishnah is Maisa Rishon Shenatlu Trumasa. They have, regarding Maaser Rishon that's given, the first tenth is given to the Levi. And the Levi has to take off what's known as Trumas Maaser. He has to take off a Truma from his Maaser that he got from the Yisrael and give that to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course. What's wrong with that Maaser Rishon? Everything that was necessary to do with it was taken care of. So why can't you be mitzaref him to be part of the Zeman? So the Gemara says, Loi Tzricha, we need it for a special case that Ela Shekdima Bishabal, that he preempted the Kohen, he preempted the, so to speak, taking his Maaser when it was still in the ears of the grain. And v'hifrish mimen the trumas ma'aser. So he took off from his ma'aser, trumas ma'aser, which is the truma of his ma'aser, for the hifrish mimen the truma gedayla. And he didn't separate it from a truma gedayla. Again, that is that the Levi went ahead and he, so to speak, beat the kohen to the produce. And he took his ma'aser from the shebalim, from the ears of the grain, before the kohen took his truma gedayla. And the truth is, the halach is the kohen should have taken his truma gedayla first, which is 1/50, 2 out of every 100 goes to the kohen. And that's because the Torah calls it rachis, as it says, so therefore what comes out is that the Truma Gedoyla of the Kohen is really in the Meiser that the Levi had taken. 1/50 of what he took really belongs to the Kohen, which should have been from the Truma Gedoyla. Besides the Trumas Meiser, the Levi has to take off and give to the Kohen from Truma, so to speak, from his Meiser. And that we're telling you the Chiddush, that although, so to speak, the Truma Gedoyla is mixed into the Meiser that he took, it's not a problem. As the halacha is Rebbe Vohu, that in other words, the Mishnah is telling us this halacha of Rebbe Vohu, that the Levi is putter from giving Truma Gedayla from his Maaser that he, so to speak, did improperly but beat the Kohen to the produce. As the Gemara brings, Rebbe Vohu, Mirsh Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shekdima B'Shebalim. Regarding the Maaser, the first Maaser that the Levi takes and that he went and preempted and he took it by the ears of the grain when it's still standing before it's, so to speak, threshed and in a pile, patim b'truma gedayla. He's patim from taking off truma gedayla. Again, although that's improper, but we have a pasuk shenema v'hari meisim imen et truma sashem meisim in a meis. The pasuk says that he should separate from it a truma sashem meiser from the meiser, which is meisim in a meiser matilach. I only told you to take off a meiser, a tenth from the tenth. In other words, but v'leit truma gedayla the truma is meisim in a meiser, but not to take off truma gedayla and truma is meiser from the meiser. So again, although he's taking Trumas Maaser, he's taking off from his Maaser, he's taking off to give to the Kohen, but not to tell you that, but you don't have to take also the Truma Gedayla. Only one Maaser and a Maaser, but not the Truma Gedayla. So therefore, this Levi is putter from taking off Truma Gedayla, and that's why he's permitted to be Mezamen, although again, it was improperly done. But now, after the fact, it's regular kosher food, so to speak. So Amalei Rav Papa Labaya, Ihachi, if that's the case, that like Rebbe Vohu said, that a person, that the Levi is patur, if he went and preempted the Kohen from the Truma by the ears of the grain, so and he learns it from the Pasuk, afilik dim b'kri nami. Even if he went and preempted the Kohen when it was already at a later stage, when it was a pile that it was already threshed, then the Levi should also be patur, because you have a Pasuk. When the Levi takes off Maaser, he only takes off Maaser and a Maaser, he only gives Trumas Maaser to the Kohen, but he doesn't give the Truma Gedayla, the 1/50, which is what the Kohen takes from the Yisrael, that although he, so to speak, stole that part of his, but he doesn't have to give it. So why is the Halacha only said when it's still in the ears, but not when it's in the pile? It should apply even then also. So it says, Omalei, so he said to him, Allah HaMakron, you the Pasuk says, and now we continue on Tamid Beis, that we have a different Pasuk that says, Mikol Maaser Seichem Terima, that from all your Maaser you should give Truma. That is, this is said by the parasha of the Levim that says, "Vel Levim tedaber." That's the Levim you should speak, and it says over there in that pasuk, "Es kol truma Hashem, all the truma Hashem." That is, anything that has a tzad of truma in it, that has an angle, that has an aspect of truma in it, that the Levi is chayiv to be mafresh from it. So therefore, we see that although he went and he preempted the kohen from his truma gedayla, but if it was at a later stage by the kri, by the pile already, it was threshed, then he has to give, even the Truma Gedayla, he has to give to the Kohen. To which the Gemara asks him, Mari Issa, where do you see? How do you know that it's telling you that only by the kri, by the pile that you have to give, and not by the Shebalim? How do we know to say which Pasuk is saying which? We have one Pasuk that says that he only has to give Trumas Maisa. Then we have another Pasuk that's telling you that, no, he even has to give Truma Gedayla, everything that has a part of Truma in it, he has to give from his Maisa. How do we know one that says that he's potter by the grain, by the ears, and one that says that he's chayiv to give even the Truma Gedayla is when it's already in the kri, in the pile? So the Gemara says, because hayidgin v'hayelo yidgin, one of them is already considered grain, and the other one is not. And that is, from the time when that it was threshed, and it was smoothed into the pile, it became grain. And since it's called dog and it's called grain, so it's already chalanit, the reshus, the property of the kohen already, as the pasuk calls it, reshus the gan chot titin loy, the beginning of your grain you should give to the kohen. However, by the shibbolim, by the ears of the grain, where it's not called idogan yet, so therefore it wasn't chal, didn't start yet the property, the ownership of the kohen. So therefore then, when he preempted him, it was never the kohen, so therefore he doesn't have to give it to him. Whereas when it was already smoothed into a pile, and then he took his ma'isa first, it was, so to speak, already had the ownership of the kohen, then it's called mikol ma'aser seichab trimu, that then you even have to give the truma gedayla back to the kohen. And that's again what the case of our Mishnah was saying, that although it seemed like a regular legitimate case, it wasn't so ideal in the sense that he went and preempted him from the truma gedayla when it was still in the ears of the grain. But the chiddush is that after the fact, there's nothing wrong with it, and he doesn't have to give the kohen the truma gedayla that he preempted when he took his ma'aser rishon from the grains beforehand. So then the Gemara continues with the next case of the Mishnah. We said that ma'aser sheni v'hekdesh sheniftu, that regarding when you have ma'aser sheni, which is the ma'aser that's taken off in the third and the sixth year, that a person has to take up to Yerushalayim, he doesn't have to give it to the Levi, doesn't have to give it to the Ani, rather he goes ahead and eats it in Yerushalayim himself, or hekdesh, that has to be, again, these things have to be brought to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, but if you redeem it, then you could eat it here, and then you take the money up to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, pshita, it's obvious, you redeemed it, what's wrong with it? The Gemara says, that is, the person already gave the principal worth of it, but he didn't add to it the fifth. And that is, that although there's halacha, when the owner of the produce redeems it, he has to add a fifth, the chiddush is, the fifth does not hold back. In other words, regarding to kosher the food, that it's once you give the principal, you redeemed it, it's good. You have to add a fifth, but that doesn't hold back regarding the kashrus of the food, and therefore that's why the chiddush was that he could join in the zimun if he redeemed it, even though he didn't give the fifth yet. The next case in the Mishnah was Ashamish Ochel Kazayas. The attending waiter, as long as he eats a kazayas, he could join into the zimun. To which the Gemara says, pshit, it's obvious, what if he ate a kazayas? So the Gemara says, ma'ad etem Ashamish Lekava, we would think that the waiter is not, he's never established, he's not considered part of the meal because he's always constantly coming and going. So therefore he can't be considered part of this joint meal to join the bracha of Zimun. Kamash mother, no. As long as he ate a kazayas, although he's coming and going back and forth to the kitchen, he could be considered part of the meal to make the bracha of the Zimun. The Mishnah continued and said, v'hakuti mezamnulav. Regarding a kuti, which are people that they were magayer, but they didn't have such a perfect geiris, it was a certain time in the Jewish history. But the halach is that we can make a zimun on them, that then they don't have a din like a nachri, like a non-Jew. However, therefore, you could be mezamen, you could include them in zimun. To which Gemara asks, correct, so they have a din like Yisrael, but amai lo yehei el am ha'aretz. Why shouldn't they have at least a din of just being like an am ha'aretz, an ignoramus? The Tanya will learn the Braisa, ein mezamen al am ha'aretz, that a tam ha'chacham is not fitting for him, he cannot join in the zimun with an am ha'aretz. So therefore, that alone should be a reason why kuti should not be allowed to join in the zimun. The Gemara answers, Abai Amar b'kuti chavar, Abai says, correct, it's Tumar Akuti, that is a Tamar Chacham, and that's why Tamid Chacham allowed to join him in Zimun. Rava Amar, afil teima b'kuti amarz. Rava says, no, we could even say it's Tochmad by Akuti amarz. So therefore, we seem to be stuck, but you're right, he's like a Jew, but he's an amarz, and we said an amarz you can't make a Zimun with. So Rava answers that Akuti amarz is better in this sense than Yisrael amarz. As the Gemara says, V'hocha b'amarz d'rabon and d'pligal d'rabmeaskin. We're referring to the type of amarz, like the Shita of the Rabbanon, that argue on Reb Meir. And that is, that they say that the halacha is, what's an Am Aretz? Someone that doesn't take off Maisa from his fruits. That's what we'll see that they consider an Am Aretz. And since the Kutim, they do take off Maisa, so therefore you could be Mezaman on the Kuti Am Aretz, as the Gemara brings the Tanya, learned the Braisa. Is there Am Aretz? Who's an Am Aretz that's forbidden to make a Zimun with them? So Reb Meir says, Kol she'ena oichel chulav betahar de Reb Meir. The Rameyah says that whoever doesn't eat his chul and his regular fruit that's not truma or kodesh, if he doesn't eat it with tahar, with purity, he's considered am ha'aretz. He cannot join in the zima with tamid ha'chacham. Chacham ha'imim, kol she'inim ha'asa pe'resav karo. Whoever doesn't fulfill properly his chiyav of ma'isras, he's considered am ha'aretz, and they can't join in the meal to make the zima with tamid ha'chacham. Therefore, Rava concludes, v'hani kotoi asuri ma'asru. Since these ketoim, they do properly fulfill the ma'aser, so therefore he's better than Am Ha'aretz Yisrael, and therefore, although a regular Am Ha'aretz you can't make zim with, a kut you could, because they are careful, they are meticulous in ma'aser. And why is it? Why are the kutim more meticulous in the halach of ma'aser than a regular Yisrael Am Ha'aretz? As the Gemara says, the kedechazi, as we see, that whatever is explicitly written in the Torah, just in, so to speak, the Bible, the five books of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chumash, that they're more careful. The Amamar, as I was learned, that kol mitzvah shechziku bo kutim, any mitzvah that the kutim are they grab onto, which are things which are written mefurish in the Torah, harbe medaktikim ba yisem yisrael, they're more meticulous and more careful in it than a regular Jew. So therefore, although a regular Jew that's an Am Haaretz, he's not so careful about his ma'aser, but the kutim, because it's written in the Torah, they're more careful about it. Therefore, you could join the kuti, although he's an Am Haaretz, into the zimun of the Talmid Chacham. So those are two different terutzim of Abaye that says it's Toma Kuti Chaver, and it's because he's a Talmud Chacham. And Rebbe says, no, even though Kuti Am Aretz, he's better than Yisrael Am Aretz, and you could join him in the Zimun. So once we were discussing Am Aretz, related to Halach of Zimun, the Gemara addresses Tanabon Ezehu Am Aretz, who's an Am Aretz generally? When the Chacham mentioned many times in Shas, we find the Chacham say that there's different halachas for Am Aretz, a man of the land, who is considered Am Aretz? So the Gemara brings many different definitions, which is all these different things are different angles, different aspects of an Am Haaretz, which would apply to the halachic status of an Am Haaretz. So the Braisa begins, Kol she'en kari krishma arvis v'shachas divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, whoever doesn't recite krishma in the evening and the morning, he's considered Am Haaretz. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol she'en menech tefillin, whoever doesn't put on tefillin. But Nazai Omer, Kol she'en li tzitzis v'beida, whoever doesn't have tzitzis on his four-cornered garment, he's an Am Haaretz. Reb Nosson Oimer, Kol She'en Mezuzah Al Pesach, whoever doesn't have a mezuzah on his doorway. Reb Nosson by Yosef Oimer, Kol She'yesh Le'ibonim Ve'en Megam Talmud Torah, whoever has children but he doesn't bring them up for Talmud Torah to learn Torah, he's considered Am Haaretz. And finally, Acherim Oimer, others say, Afilu Korah V'Shana, B'li Shimish Talmud Chacham, Hariz Am Haaretz. Whoever, even if he learned Chumash, and he learned Mishnayos, but he didn't go ahead and assist and to be in the presence of Talmid Chacham to serve them, which really means Gemara, which is tolerance, Svarin, understanding, that they would give explanations for the words of the Mishnayos, and they would gather together and they would toil over what does the Mishnah mean. That's the picture, so to speak, of the Gemara that the Amiram made for us and that we're learning from right now. So if the person didn't learn Gemara, which is considered it wasn't Mishamash Talmid Chacham, Hariz Am Haaretz, he's Am Haaretz, because although he knows Chumash and no Mishnayos, he just knows facts, but he doesn't really understand the depth of the Torah, and that only comes by serving Talmid Chacham, who are basically the ones who give over the Gemara, give over the Ar Masayra of our understanding of the Torah Shel Bapeh. So the Gemara concludes, Amar Rav Huna, Halacha Karachem, the Halacha is like Karachem, that what is the halachic status of Am Haaretz depends if it's a person that although if he learned Chumash and Mishnayos, but he never, so to speak, was involved in the study halls of greater Talmudic learning, which means the study of Gemara, he's considered Am Haaretz. So Gemara brings a story related to this. That Rami Bachama loy azman Allah the Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa. Rami Bachama would not include, he would not make Zimun on Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa. He wouldn't count them as part of the Zimun to make them part of the three. And the Tani Sifra of his Sifra of Hilchasa, and this is in spite of the fact that he had learned Sifra, Sifri, all the great Tanoic writings on the Chumashim of Yikra and others, and Halachas, still he didn't include him. Kinoch Nafshi Deram Bachama, when Ram Bachama passed away, Amar Rava, so Rava commented, Leinoch Nafshi Deram Bachama El Dolei Azman Ar Rav Menashe Bat Achlifa. The only reason why Ram Bachama passed away was because he did not include Rav Menashe Bat Achlifa in the Zimun. So the Gemara asks, "Vatani b'learn the Brisa Acherim Oimrim Afilakar v'Shon Nebeli Shemir Tamal Chomer is Am Haaretz." Did even if someone learned Chumash and learned Mishnayos, know all the halachas, but he never served in the presence of Talmid Chacham, he's considered Am Haaretz. And Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa wasn't included in that, therefore he can't be joined in the Zimun. So the Gemara says, "Shani Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa did Meshama Luhul Rabban." That know that he did serve the Rabbanon. Rambam was not careful to fully check after him to see that he really was. He didn't carefully check, therefore he didn't know, so therefore he didn't include him. But if he would have checked after him, he would have seen that he really was Mishamesh Talmid Chacham, and therefore he really was improperly excluded from the Zimun, and that's why Rebbe said he passed away. Lashon Achra, a different version, is Dishama Shmaitze Mipumayad Rabban and Vigarzlo. The reason why the Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa was a Talmid Chacham, so to speak, not Am Haaretz, and he should have been included in the Zimun, is because he heard the teachings of the mouths of the Rabban, and he reviewed it. So therefore, Ketzuvim Rabbanim, therefore he had a halacha like a young Talmudic scholar, because he heard the studies and he wrote it over, he's chazed the shir, so to speak. So therefore, he should have been like a Talmid Chacham and included, and that's why Rav Bachama passed away. Now the Gemara continues with quoting the Mishnah again, that the next case was Ochel Tevel U'Maisa V'Chulu, that if someone ate untithed produce, or ma'aser that wasn't taken off the truma from it, that those things are things which are improperly eaten, and therefore that person cannot join in the zimun. So which Gemara asks, Tevel, Pshita, if someone eats untithed produce, of course it's pasha, he's eating like treif, Of course he can't join the Nezimin. That would be a mitzvah b'baveira. It would be bayreach. It would be nitzas Hashem. So Gemara says, Lo yitzrich, we need it for the case of betevel tova midrabbanan. Talking about tevel, that's only rabbinic tevel. Hechidami, what type of case is that? But otzitz ein anakev, we're talking about a pot, so to speak, that doesn't have a hole in it. Therefore, since it's not gendic, it's nourishment from the ground, it's not, so to speak, like regular produce. There, the tevel is only midrabbanan. That's the chiddush in telling you that we can include this person for Zeman, though, that although it's only Issa Drabbanan that he's being over, that's enough of saying that it's Issa that the Torah would not want him to be joined in this Brach of Zeman. The next case was Maisa Rishon that did not have its Truma. In other words, when the Levi takes the tenth of the produce, he's supposed to give off part of it to the Kayan. If he did not take off that Truma's Maiser, so that is, he cannot join in the Zeman. Rishon Gemara as Peshitta, that's also obvious. His food cannot be eaten. So Gemara says, Lo yitzricha kagoyin shekdima bekri. We're talking about a case that he preempted the kayin by the pile that was threshed. In other words, after that it was smoothed out and they already had a kviyas of truma minatar. The Levi went ahead and he took before the kayin, he took his maaser rishon, and therefore one of the 50th of the kayin is in his maaser that he took, which is fitting as truma gedolah for the kayin. And therefore the case of shaloi nitla trumasa that we learned in our mission that the truma was not taken off is not going on the trumas maaser, rather it's going on the truma gedolah. And that is, the Gemara explains, I would have thought, as Rav Papa had argued Tabaya, that we mentioned before, that he wanted to say that even if the Levi preempted the Kohen by the smooth pile, that still he should be potter from Truma Gedayla, because it's only take off one Maiser from the Maiser, and not Truma from the Maiser. So Kamash Malon, Kedushanli, that's what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is telling you, like Abaya had answered to him, that no, that if he took it at a later stage when it was already smooth in the pile and the ownership of the Kohen was already on that produce, so therefore there is a Chiv of Truma Gedayla and he would have to give it back as the Pasuk of Mekol Maaser Sechem Truma, as we learned on the top of this Amud. So therefore that is the Chiddush that we're telling you, that it's not, so to speak, kosher food, and therefore the Levi cannot eat it and he cannot join in the Zeman. And it's not talking about that he didn't take off Truma Smaiser, it's talking about he didn't take off Truma Gedayla, and that's the Chiddush that we're telling you. Next case of the Mishnah was Maaser Sheni that wasn't redeemed. So to which the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously you have Maaser Sheni, has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, he's not in Yerushalayim, of course he can't eat it. So what's the Chiddush that he cannot be joined in the Zeman? So the Gemara says, Lo yitzricha sheniftu v'leiniftu kol chasen. It was redeemed, but it wasn't properly redeemed. And that's the Chiddush we're coming to tell you. And what's the two cases of Maaser and Hekdish that weren't properly redeemed? Maaser Sheni k'gen shepodo agabi asimon. A Maaser Sheni is, the example would be if he redeemed it on an unminted slug, which is a simon, is a coin that doesn't have an imprinted picture on it. It wasn't minted as a coin yet. Rachmanam, and the Torah says regarding the redemption of the Maaser Sheni, v'tzarta kesev yedecha, that you should bind the money in your hand, which the Chazchum darshan to say that kesev sheyesh alav tzura has to be a coin that has in it, as the pasuk says, tzarta, has to have a tzura, has to have a picture, has to have an image. And since it doesn't, although it was redeemed, it wasn't properly redeemed, that's what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is telling you. And similarly, hektish, regarding hektish that's improperly redeemed, is shechil lagabe karkav lepod bekesev, that it was deconsecrated on earth, on the land, and it wasn't redeemed with money. Rachman Ha'am, and the Torah says regarding the proper redemption of hekdesh, of consecrated properties, v'nasa ha'kesev b'kamloi, that you'll give money and then it will pass to him. It has to be money, it can't be karka, and therefore, although these two cases that they were redeemed, but since they weren't properly redeemed, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that although it was redeemed, it's not good enough, and therefore, he can't go ahead and eat that to be part of the zima. Then the Mishnah said, "Vashamish ochel pachas mekazayis," that the waiter that eats less than the kazayis, he can't join the zimun. The Gemara says, "Pshita, obviously he didn't even need a kazayis." So the Gemara says, "Correct. I did the tana reisha kazayis, tana seva pachas mekazayis." It's just, so to speak, a continuation from the first half of the Mishnah. And there it said a chiddush that he could join in the zimun because although he's coming and going, but as long as he ate a kazayis, he's considered part of the meal. So then, by the seva, we said those that can't join, we said less than the kazayis, that although a waiter could join, but if he eats less, he can't. So then the Mishnah said, "V'hanachri ein mezam nalav." Regarding a non-Jew, we cannot join him in the Zeman. So the Gemara says, "Pshita, obviously he's not a Jew. He doesn't have the mitzvah of Zeman at all." So the Gemara says, "Hachem ha'eskin beger shemol v'loy tavo." Talking about a ger, a convert, that he already did the bris milah, but he didn't do a tefillah yet. And that is, although he is a Jew, but he's not a full Jew, so it's not good enough. That a person is not considered a full convert until he has the bris milah, circumcision, and that he did a tefillah. And that is, this learned that in the Gemara in Yevamah stuff, and Vavim and Beis, from the Pasuk, Vayikach Moshe Sadom Vayizuk Alam, after they came out of Mitzrayim, that they had, so to speak, like a gerus, that Moshe took the blood and he threw it on the nation. And we learned that you can't do hazah, you can't sprinkle blood until someone does a tefillah. So we see that they had the bris milah, and they had the tefillah. That's how we know that gerus requires these two things. But Kamadulay Tavol Nachri, and so as long as he didn't do the immersion in the mikvah, he's still considered a guy. And that's the chiddush, although he's, so to speak, in this insayid already, it's not good enough, and he's not joining in the zimun for the other people. So up until now, the Gemara discussed the different cases of when we had to tell you a chiddush that they are able to be mitzvah for the zimun, that although it seemed obvious that they could, we had to tell you why maybe we think not. And then we said about the cases where we told you that they cannot join in zimun, that although it seemed obvious that they cannot join, we had to tell you that it was possible that you would think that they could. Now the Gemara continues with the quote of the Mishnah that nashim v'avadim ketanim im mezamnalim, that certain individuals, we cannot join them, they cannot be part of the tziruv to make a zimun. They are women, slaves, and children, they can't be used. So the Gemara discusses who are the ones that could be used to join to make it, although let's say we have two people, we can join that person to make a third one or a tenth one for Zeman. Amr B'Yosi, Katna Muta Ba'arisa Mezamna Lov. B'Yosi says that an infant that's in a cradle, we can use him, so to speak, as the third person to make a Zeman on him. To which the Gemara asks, what's the number? Learned in our Mishnah. Nashem Avadim Uketanim Eim Mezamna Lov. We said that children cannot be used to make a Zeman for them. So the Gemara says that who the Amr Ke B'Shuban Levi, B'Yosi was going to give B'Shuban Levi. That is, although we said that an infant that's in the cradle, we can't use him to make a zimun on them, but we can make him an accessory to 10. In other words, correct, when there's three people, we have two and a child and an infant, we can't use that infant, as so to speak, to three people to make a zimun, even if he had his bottle. But if there's 10 people, there's 9, so to speak, and then the infant is the 10th, then we could join to make the 10th one, as the Gemara says, as the Gemara is going to show that for 10, it's a different idea. And that is, V'Mishu ben Levi, Tisha ve'Eved mitzdarfin. And Mishu ben Levi said that 9 and a slave also is mitzdarf. So that's the idea that Mishu ben Levi is the one that says that when it comes to the 10th person, it's different. We can use a katan, we can use an Eved, we can use these people, so to speak, to at least get us to the 10th level, to have 10 people, for 3 not, but for 10 yet. And that's what we're saying, that an infant that's in a cradle, we can use them to make a join us, to be able to make a elikeno of 10 people. So the Gemara says, Meisve. Meisve, Rebbe Elazar, Shenichnas Lebesa Knesses, Avli Motza Sara, Veshichur Avdi, Veshlim Lasara. There was an incident that happened. Rebbe Elazar came into the Beis HaKnesses, the shul. He didn't see 10 people. So what did he do? There's only 9. They needed center. So he went and he freed his slave. And now with his slave being a full-fledged Jew, they had 10 yidden now. So the question is, shichur in le shichur loy. We see that he had to, so to speak, let him go free. But if he didn't let him go free, he wouldn't. But why? You just said that when you have 9 people plus a slave, the slave could be joined to make the 10 people. So why did he have to make his slave go free? So the Gemara says, that was trei itzuchi. They only had 8 people. They needed to have a minion, and they needed 2 more people. So shichur chad v'nafik b'chad. He went and he freed one of his slaves, so that made it to 9. And then one of his slaves was joined to be the 10th person. That's why it's not shver, but really, if you had 9 people and 1 slave, it would be good enough. But then the Gemara asks on that whole episode, b'hechi aver hachi, how do you do this? How do you free his slave to complete a minion? V'am Rabbi Yehuda said, kol ha-meshachar avdo aver b'esei, whoever frees a slave is over on the mitzvah essay in the Torah. Shenem, as it says in the Torah regarding non-Jewish slaves, la'olam b'em tavod, you should always work them and enslave them. And therefore that means if you go ahead and you free them and you're not going to be always having them enslaved, you're over on this mitzvah essay, the positive commandment in the Torah. So the Gemara says, L'dvar mitzvah shani, that to free a slave to be, so to speak, over on the essay for a mitzvah, which in this case was a mitzvah of tefillah, that's different. So then the Gemara asks, mitzvah b'averihi. We always know there's a klal in the Torah that a mitzvah that comes through an aver is not a good mitzvah. So although there's a mitzvah of tefillah, but you're doing an aver in the process, so that shouldn't be good. To which the Gemara says, mitzvah de rabim shani, a mitzvah of the public is different. When it's coming to be mitzvah the rabim through their chiyuv of kedusha, there you need to have 10 people. That type of mitzvah is greater, and it even allows us to be over on this mitzvah essay of freeing a slave, and that is why he was able to free a slave. But again, it was told that we needed 2 people, there was only 8, so that's why he freed 1 slave, and there was 9, and another slave was able to be joined, as we said, that we could be meikel regarding the 10th person, regarding a slave, and regarding even an infant that's in the cradle. The Gemara continues with other halachas from the same Amor. Amir B'Shuban Levi, La'olam yashkim adam l'beis ha-knesses. A person should always be early to come to shul. Why is that? K'dei she'yizki v'yim ne'masar rishayim, that he should be merit, and he should be counted amongst the first 10 people that come into shul. Why is that? Shafila meya boy machrav, even if 100 people come after him, a huge minion, kibul lav scharkum, he gets everybody's reward. Tosha Gemara says, scharkum so gadayli, think he gets everybody else's reward? Why did they lose that he came first? They give him reward that's equal, commensurate to everybody's merit that's coming later. And that's why it's so important to be from the first 10 people that come into the minyan. Now the Gemara continues on this idea about being mitzarif, people, or different things regarding making a minyan, making 10 people. Amar Rav Huna, tishav aron mitzarifin. When you have 9 people and the ark, the aron is mitzarif to make a minyan. So Amalei Rav Nachman of Aron Gavruhu, what do you mean? Is the Aron a person? How could the Ark be mitzdarif when you have 9 people and they're looking for the center? Oh, we have the Ark. Elam Amar Rav Huna Tisha Nirin Kasar mitzdarif. What we mean to say is, we don't mean actually mean the Ark. We mean when we have 9 that seem like 10, then the mitzdarif, which the Gemara is going to explain what that is. Amri Lo, some explain that means to say Kimakanfi, when the people are gathered. And that is, since they're gathered, they look like 10, because you can't really tell to differentiate between 9 or 10. Since everyone's so close together, when they're close together and they look like 10, that's good enough to make a minion. Some say what he meant was when they're spread out. And that is, they look like a lot of people because one person is in this end and this one, the other one looks like a lot of people. Then they look like 10. That's good enough to make a minion of 10 people. The Gemara continues on regarding Zimun. Amr Reb Ami, Shnayim v'Shabbos mitzdarfin. If you have 2 people eating a meal, and it's Shabbos, Shabbos is mitzdarf to make 3 people that they can make a zimun. So Amr Reb Nachman v'Shabbos gavu, is Shabbos a person? Elo Amr Reb Ami, Shnei Tamidei Chacham Hamachad Mezeazeh B'Halacha mitzdarfin. What it means to say is, there's different interpretations in the Mefarshim, why does it mean Shabbos, but it means 2 Tamidei Chacham that sharpen each other in Halacha, they are mitzdarf, that it's so to speak almost like having a third person there. Like they say, you know, when you have two yidden, there's 3 opinions. That's almost like there's 3 people. That it's a bechina of Shabbos, either because that this was customary on Shabbos, that they were together, or because it's a bechina of Shabbos. Either way, is that the 2 Tamid Chacham that are, so to speak, sharp and in halacha amongst themselves, they have almost a halacha of 3 people, and they can make a zimun. So Machvi Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda gestured, Kogoyna no, Rav Sheshes, he pointed to himself in Rav Sheshes. And the Gemara says, Machvi Rav Sheshes, Kogoyna no, Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda gestured like me and Rav Chisda. The 2 of us together, we are that Bechina of Shabbos, and we would be able to make, since we're Mechadim Zezeb Alocha, we'd be able to make a Zimun, even if it's just 2 of us. Similarly, the Gemara continues on this theme, that Amr B'Yechanan, Katan Pereach Mezamnalov. We have a child that he sprouted the 2 pubic hairs, he brought the Simon, but he didn't become the age of 13 yet. Still, we could include him in Zimun, we could make a Zimun with him. Tanya Mahochi, similarly we learned in the Braisa, Cotton Shehavish Day Saris Mazamnalov. If we have a child that as long as he brought 2 hairs, we could make him part of the Zeman. However, Shalohavish Day Saris Imazamnalov, but if he didn't bring 2 hairs, that and he's not 13, so then we can't include him in Zeman. However, the Brysa concludes, Ve'imadaktikimakotna. We're not discriminating with the child, and that is either way he could join. So the Kashumara asks, Haguvakasha, that's an internal contradiction. Amrit Havish Day Saris in Lohavi Law, you initially said that if he brings 2 hairs that we know that, then yes, he could join. If he didn't bring, then not. Vahadutanya Madakh Bakutan, then later you say that we're not discriminating with a child, that's mashma, that even if he didn't bring hairs, that he's mitzvah and he could join in the Zeman. So the Gemara says, you're right. Lasuyimai. So what is it coming to include when we say that we're not medactic with a cut, we're not meticulous, we're not discriminating? Obviously we are discriminating. We say it depends if he brings 2 hairs or not. So Lav, and the Gemara continues on top of Memches and Alv, Lasui Kut Merech, isn't it a right to what we said that's coming to include a child that sprouted his 2 hairs, that we're not meticulous with him? In other words, if he comes to 2, if he reached the age of 13 or not, which is 13 years and 1 day, and that's like Reb Yechanan, that said this halacha, that a Kut Merech is included, as long as he brought 2 hairs, he's included even if he didn't reach the age of 13. That's what means we're not discriminating. Now, la halacha, the Gemara says, v'les hechasaka kol hanishmaitza. Halacha is not like all these different amaroic statements we set up until now. Ela ki hodam Rav Nachman, rather halacha is the following statement of Rav Nachman. That katan hayidei l'mi mevarchin mezamnalav, only a child that knows for who we're making the bracha to. He understands, and this is from the yisoidus of chinuch, that we always train a child according to his capacity, his understanding for what the mitzvah is, so therefore he understands who we're making brachas to. That type of child, not if he's sprouted here, not if he's an infant, it has to be this bechina if he understands that who we're making the bracha for. And so the Gemara says a story related to this, that Abaye and Rava have a yasri kamid the Rabbah. Abaye and Rava, they were both sitting in front of Rabbah. Amal hu Rabbah, the mevi mevarchin. So Rabbah wanted to know if he could join the mezimah. He says, who are we making a bracha for? So Amr Leil Rachman, they said to the Rachman, to Hashem, which is one of Hashem's names. Rachman Hecha Yasem, where is Hashem? In other words, do you understand what we're talking about when I say Hashem? So Rava Achvi L'Shmet Lala, Rava pointed towards the ceiling. Abai Nafik Labra, Abai went outside. Achvi Klapishma, he pointed towards the heavens. So Amr Leil Rabba, Rabba said to them, Tavaych Rabban Havaisu, you're both going to be big Tamid HaChacham one day. And Haini Dami Inchi, this is what people say, Butzin, small pumpkins, Mikat Feyedia, that they're known already from when they're small. In other words, you could tell who's going to be great even from a young age, that it was able to tell from their answers that they really knew what they were talking about. They understood what the concept of Hashem was, and each one showed something else to bring out that point. However, the halacha is, as brought in the Ramah, that the minig is that we don't make zimun on a cotton, although it's brought here in the halacha that a cotton, that they know who we're making the bracha for, we can join him in the zimun, although he can answer possibly, but we don't join him in the zimun to make him, to be able to have the chiyuv. We have two people and a child, we don't join him in the chiyuv of zimun.